It's KJ Carson on WEEI. WEEI.
KJ WEEI. Friday night. I almost, it's too cold to cruise, right? Window down, like that. No. Window up, thinking about additional flannel for tonight when I go to bed, wondering if I am a man if I turn on my heat tonight and I don't tell my friends because I'd be shamed because I turned it on 2 weeks early. I know the feeling. Look, Celtics get ready for the season opener Tuesday night. Look, they're the prohibitive favorites to win. They're such a team, a squad. Even these guys who you've been pulling for, like your Lonnie Walkers and so forth, like it's just going to be hard to crack the top eight considering Hauser just got money. Pritchard got his money last year. So, like, you would almost say, hey, the way they crack that lineup is things that you would want to happen to a team, which is injury. But before I get into some of my thoughts about the season moving forward, I do have to really take my hat off to Jaylen Brown, who is literally putting his money where his mouth is, him along with Drew Holiday and Drew Holiday's wife have identified 10 small businesses that will get $100,000 from Jaylen Brown, along from Drew and Lauren Holiday. This is part of the initiative that Jaylen Brown said that he wanted to put together around the city of Boston to improve the generational wealth and making that step forward. Look, you know, I sometimes joke people think that I'm on here because it's called WDEI in their mind, and that's not the case. I'm just really damn good at what I do. But I think also what's very important is to know that someone who's part of the fabric of the team wants to be part of the growing fabric of the community that goes on. So for those who have like silly jokes like, well, could I have applied for it? Did you? You know, would you hand in just one piece of paper and just thought that would get you over just to make a point? Like, don't be stupid. Like, why not celebrate it? So hats off to Jaylen Brown, who said he was going to start putting millions of his dollars, to helping grow and make Boston a complete Boston, help it get to it. So I'm not going to mention any of those 10 businesses because anybody who I took a course with Wharton's Business School, the four P's of business is price, placement, product, and promotion. So if you want me to mention it, that's that promotion side. Pay up. That's going to be part of the budget there, baby. That's a little business advice there. You want people to know about your product. Feel free to let people know through the bigger megaphones and megaphones. No free ads. I will call a major chain restaurant something. I will call it David's Fries before I call it the real thing. You notice that about me. I rarely say the name of a business because, hey, this is where you can insert your business. And if anything, I won't even tell the story probably because, like, you know, they're on that list. They're paying some good money. Probably not try and tell that story. Great, I can turn it into a generic fast food restaurant. So congratulations to the 10 different entrepreneurs and their businesses from all walks. I think even one of them is a chess club. You notice the one that I mentioned is more kind of like on the nonprofit side, like because, like, I mean, like, what, we sell chess boards on WEEI? Get your chess board. But look, all the things that people say about pro athletes and what they do and what they have and what they don't do, and you almost have to say we're in a general, I'm not saying specific, but we're in a general time where a lot of these athletes are not getting in trouble like they used to. This is no more kind of like, who was your boy hanging out with at the Super Bowl again? Like, you now have them moving into this other realm. And of course, you knowing Jaylen Brown's background, this guy's a highly intelligent guy. You just don't get into Cal Berkeley because you can play basketball. Can't care less about that. It's like the Boston College of the West Coast. It's a tough school to get into. He's a thinking man, and that should be applauded. And if he's willing to invest in this community, then clap your hands, stand up for it. I mean, he's, you know, if people are making money, they're part of the economic system, then that's the important part there. All right, let me get off this soapbox brought to you by, no kidding. Should I say the name of the soap that I'm standing, of the box I'm standing on right there, Jake? Zach? No. To the basketball court. Yes, KJ, get to the basketball court. Get off that soapbox about Jaylen Brown. I think the Celtics are only a team that can beat themselves, and I think the only way they beat themselves this year is one of two ways. Injury, and you don't want that to happen. Or falling in love with the three-point shot and it not falling down. That's always kind of the sneaky concern that I have with the Celtics. And at some point, they got smart, right? When they got Porzingis, they recognized the importance of A, protecting the rim, and B, being able to take something to the rim if they need that immediate emergency bucket. If you think of a couple playoffs ago, it was always, you know, Marcus Smart was still here. It's just like, oh my gosh, they are all standing from like 22 feet out and jacking up threes. I think it's really why Miami was able to win that series back during the bubble days. And then when they almost beat them, when Jimmy Butler missed that near half-court shot that rimmed out, that would have been absolutely devastating. Probably changed the team at that time. So I think at some point the Celtics are probably going to have to see, is there a free agent big that can bang for you? Someone like a what's the guy? Yeah, thank you. Someone who could bang for you, like what is the guy's name? Mason Plumlee, right? Someone who could get in there, big body, can bang hard, grab you some rebounds. You see where this is going. Get you some rebounds, not get in the way of the offense. When I say big man, I don't mean someone who could get in there who needs to score. It's someone who can give Al Horford a rest. And so with Porzingis not coming back until December, and possibly what if it gets extended, then do you find someone that you go to pick up? Because if there's someone who just signed with the team, you have to wait 90 days until after the season starts before that contract could get moved. Hauser is really going to have to step up as a spot shooter. If he can become more dependable, then I would feel better about some of the outside shooting as a whole, because Tatum and Brown and Holiday and all those guys are not going to be able to always get those shots off. In fact, if Hauser might be the guy that they start to leave open, if he can hit those open shots, sometimes, and you saw it last year, like you hit two or three of them, suddenly they got to rotate over to you and get a hand in your face. So just looking at how the Eastern Conference finished last year, I'll tell you whether I think this team is a real threat to the Celtics or it's just a lot of talk. And I'm going to start with the Miami Heat. I think this is a team that that ship has kind of sailed, and I think their emotions kind of went out the window when they could not get I always get stuck on his name.
Damian Lillard,
because, you know, I want to say Damian Stoudemire, but Damian Stoudemire used to be coach here. Damian Lillard, when they didn't get him, I think it truly messed up the ecosystem of that team. They've got some better younger pieces. They still have Bam Adebayo, but Jimmy Butler. Why am I saying Jimmy Smith? Good gracious.
Former Ravens cornerback.
There you go. It's almost kind of like the earphones a little tight. Jimmy Butler is getting up there in some years. And so I'm not really buying the Heat to be any more of a threat. In fact, I could see a team like Orlando passing them, maybe seeing them in to see who gets one of those spots, or maybe they see them towards the end. That might be I don't think it'd be a 4-5 matchup, but it might be a play-in matchup. It could be one of those, like a 7-10 game where Miami's the 10. The 76ers, look, a lot have been made about Paul George coming. Paul George is now getting some type of look at his knee. That's been an issue in the past. My concern with that Philly makeup is, at the end of the game, you've got Tyrese Maxey, you've got Paul George, and you've got Joel Embiid. Who do you give the ball to? I would probably tell you the person that they would try to least give the ball to is Tyrese Maxey, but yet maybe the person that you would give the ball to right after Embiid, if Embiid is in a position where he's double-teamed. Maxey has been shown to hit those shots. If you start to chip away at that confidence with him at that team, I think you start to kind of create the new Harden, Embiid, Ben Simmons situation again. Philly, I think, is just going to be kind of a mess. I think there's a little more hype with that. Indiana, this team is sneaky right here because they know what it's like to get punched in the mouth by the NBA champions, but yet they gave the NBA champions their hardest series of all their series last season. So watch out for Indiana, because with the Pascal Siakam acquisition, that was totally brilliant. But if they get someone else to go along with him and Halliburton, watch out. I don't know who that person is, but Indiana suddenly could become that team where you would say, oh man, there's like an Oklahoma City Thunder East, and that could be very potentially dangerous to the Celtics. The Magic, who I mentioned before, I think this is a team on the rise with Banchero and some of the bigs they have, I still think they're probably about a year away from their shock. So I don't think it's this year, but maybe down the line, as I mentioned, they may be like a 7 seed playing a Miami in an opening round, and that might be where they're able to kind of, you know, get their shots in. But I think it ends after that. Cleveland, I can't really figure out. Look, Donovan Mitchell signed the big extension, which looks like he's going to be there for the rest of his career. You've got Jared Allen there in the center. You've also got Mobley at the front court. They've got a big front court, but the outside shooting is still an issue. Struess is inconsistent, so I don't know if I really buy the Cavs. I think they were scarier maybe a year ago, and then they didn't bite. I think probably the most dangerous team to the Celtics, Milwaukee Bucks. I think this is a team that, okay, after having Damian Lillard for a full year, having Doc Rivers, and I know people have their ideas about Doc Rivers. I think Doc Rivers can get you where you need to go. It's just that when you get there, you may not, he may forget to close the door to the car and put it in park. Yeah, that might happen. But Milwaukee, if they put it together and they can stay healthy, they built themselves to go up against the Celtics. Now, Brooke Lopez, does he still have the same energy and legs and size? But he would be one that could pull out Porzingis. Bobby Portis brings you a lot of energy. You know, they still have those mix and match pieces that they have in there. That might help them quite a bit. The New York Knicks, which everybody's making a big deal about, they were the number two seed in that whole Villanova Knicks. I think there's a dynamic going on there that's twofold. One, after you saw DiVincenzo have those words, and I don't know if you saw this, Zach, with Tibbs, and then after the game, it became a conversation between him and Jalen Brunson, and it supposedly that the words were between DiVincenzo and Brunson's dad, Rick, who's on the coaching squad, who's on the coaching staff of the team. That's a dynamic there. Like, do the Brunsons now kind of run that team? That's something to watch for. And with Karl Anthony Towns coming, is he going to be more enamored to be back home? And could the flare up with Tibbs come back again from when he was in Minnesota? So these are things to watch. And so, like I said, I believe the Celtics really could are really in line to only beat themselves. Watch out for Milwaukee, and Indy could be sneaky. All right, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937 still to come. Bets to the future and what to look for with the Patriots on Sunday in London. Right now, it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All righty, let's get you caught up on what's trending one final time for your Friday night. Patriots landed in London this morning ahead of Sunday's matchup with the Jaguars. Couple injury updates for the Pats. Tackle Viridian Lowe has been ruled out. However, running back Ramondre Stevenson returned to practice and is trending towards playing. As for rookie QB Drake May, he says he's feeling good after appearing on the injury report with a knee injury earlier in the week. Pats and Jaguars kick off from London this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Bruins have the night off. They'll return to the ice tomorrow night, taking on the Utah Hockey Club. Puck drop from the Delta Center in Salt Lake City set for 9 p.m. Tough one last night for the Boston College Eagles. They fell to Virginia Tech 42-21, the final from Lane Stadium. Eagles fall to 4-3 on the year. They'll be back in action next Friday night when they host Louisville. Finally, both championship series continue in baseball tonight. Dodgers are looking to punch their ticket to the World Series, and it's not looking too good for them there. Top of the ninth from Citi Field, 12-6, Mets the score. And the Yankees and Guardians are underway in Cleveland in Game 4, with the Yankees leading that series 2-1 and leading the game 2-0 in the top of the first after Juan Soto added a two-run home run. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
It's KJ Carson on WEEI. WEEI.
Hi, Drake. We've already asked your head coach, but we're looking for great ambassadors, and what better than yourself for the Patriots? There are a lot of fans here in the UK who are yet to have an NFL team that they support and devote their lives to. What is your message for those new fans? Why should they be supporting the Patriots?
First off, I think it comes in the team name, you know, New England. I think it's easy for, you know, UK fans to, you know, be attracted to that. You know, our colors are pretty sweet. You know, they represent a lot of different things. And then from there, just kind of the excitement from the team. I think we got, you know, we're on the come up, and we got a lot of things to look forward to, a lot of bright futures ahead. So shout out to all the fans that are already Patriot fans over here, and look forward to having some more.
Amazing.
KJ Lines, WEEI. Oh, did I say KJ Lines? You know what? Those political ads are getting to me. It's just KJ. John and I will be together again tomorrow. Pause. 3 p.m. here on WEEI. KJ Lines tomorrow, 3 p.m. So first off, oh my gosh, could that reporter be flirting any more with Drake May than, I mean, like, you could just hear the energy. Thank you. When you know the answer of why they haven't taken to the Patriots like that, watch this. Because those Patriots are the ones that beat the British. I was just going to say that. Wouldn't you think that someone from the United Kingdom rooting for the Patriots would be kind of like a mini form of self-hatred? Like, these are the ones that beat us because they didn't. They sit down with King George and the tea.
It's the whole reason it's called New England.
It's the whole reason. And here's how you know the petty is just so incredible. Do you know where Boston, United Kingdom is? Do you know where it is?
In the United Kingdom.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but like, it's not a big city. It's one. It's a small place, remote, I think, in southwest UK. So like here in America, a lot of the towns that are named, like the New York is actually York, right? And Boston is actually a town, a little small village, you know, because someone's like, one day I'm going to be a star, mama. I'm going to turn to a real Boston. You just watch, you know. So, yeah, they're not going to be. I think some of the teams, obviously the Jaguars have been one of those teams because they're there all the time. I have some friends that are there in the UK. I know a couple of them are Miami Dolphins fans. And the reason being is because they like going to Miami, right? So it'd be interesting. I don't think the NFL ever has a full-time team there just because of the competitiveness, 5-hour difference.
It would be a logistical nightmare.
Right, in a nightmare, right? I mean, you think you would be subsidized. Like, if you talk about people like, where are my tax dollars going to? You would see on your ticket, if you look closely, it would be like a foreign subsidy tax. The hell is this? Oh, it's because there's a team in the NFL that's over there. Everybody gets charged a subsidy on their tickets for the rest of the league.
It's like the NHL escrow.
Right. Or, you know, so that's very interesting. But I give Drake May credit for having a personality answering that question. And, being up in game for it, because that's part of it, man. Part of this is entertainment. I mean, this is entertainment. Football, I mean, you call it sport, but it's entertainment. You have people there. They're there to be entertained. There are winners and losers. There are sides. I mean, are we not entertained? That's a great movie. So, it'll be interesting. I don't know how entertaining the game will be Sunday. I'll be honest with you. Because you literally have a Jags team that's 31st, in yards allowed on defense and points allowed. They're the second worst team in the NFL in the points difference, only behind the Carolina Panthers. Though I don't know if the Cowboys play again this weekend. The Cowboys may jump into that guy. Hey, Cowboys have entered the chat. But their point differential is minus 65, the Patriots minus 60. The concern that I have in this game for the Patriots is that there are a lot of talented bodies on that Jags team that might just click for this game because there's so much pressure. Now, the other part of it is, I don't think a lot of the UK press has been pressing Doug Peterson. So, Doug Peterson, may I ask you a question? Is that Australian or British? May I ask you a question?
Sounds a little Australian.
Australian? Well, it was a slave colony at one time. Look it up. Yeah. Hello, Governor. Doug Peterson. Hello.
There we go.
Hello, Governor. You think you'll be on the plane with the team back, or you think you'll be taking a commercial? Yeah. So I don't know if there's that much of a stress on them from the press there because they've stayed there. All right. Plus, why fly back and fly back again? For the Patriots, though, the stress is, okay, Drake May showed himself to be competent in last week's game against one of the better defenses and better teams in the league. This is one of the worst teams in the league that haven't had their P's and Q's together, really. I don't care what the records say, man. If you look back into their point differential over the last few years when people are saying they're the sexy team, like last year their point differential was 6. Like, if you want to impress me, like 17 times 4, so if that number is around 68, that means that on average, every game, a field goal wasn't going to be enough to tie it. That means that you've shown yourself to pull away in the game. But when you're 6, what? That means either you're getting blown out when you lose, and when you win, it's pretty convincing, and it gets down to a very small number. That's not happening for them this year. So if you're the Patriots, you would have to say, the best thing that we could come out with is energy, surprise, frustration. The penalties cannot be there. But the bigger thing, because most of that, I'm talking about the defense, right? But the bigger portion is the Patriots' defense has to show up. It was the only thing I kind of hung my hat on when the season started. I was like, well, you know, the defense should be pretty decent. And if you remember earlier on in preseason, it was like, hey, you know, the defense is usually ahead of the offense. And the offense was new. I would argue that, gosh, the defense seems to be in some form of regression. And I get it, injuries that you have up the middle. But again, next man up, and when you're like one of the 30th rated team in the league in terms of wins, next man up, there's not that much of a difference because there's really no big anomaly of this team suffering with one win at this point. Bengals, if you've got two wins and you're like this, it's a problem. Bengals are something different. But this team, I mean, the expectations weren't high. Now, the desire might have been like, hey, it's great. And that's why I think it's really stupid to be like, oh, Mayo's in over his head. Hello, this team is underwater. it was going to be at the start of the season. It was mostly a question of not if, but when Drake May was going to end up being the quarterback of the team. I was off by 1 week. I just want to know, do I win all the prizes on the Price is Right Showcase Showdown before being the closest? Or did I go over? Actually, I technically went over. No, I hit the under. I said it would be then, and the number came in lower. So it was a perfect bid on Price is Right. But this is where I thought Drake May's launching would be. Now, looking back at last week, one, he didn't get severely hurt. That's why I don't know why people are trying to read into like him being on the injury report. I mean, at the end of every game, good gracious, everybody could be on the injury report. But you may put him on there just as a maneuver. You know, if you know that he's still going to go, then it's a conversation piece. It may say, hey, what if May doesn't go? Do we have to at least prepare and look at some? It might force you to look at some Jacoby film just in case if you're Jacksonville. So it'd be very interesting how it all plays out. Look, I'm kind of shocked, and I'm sure a few of us are, that the Patriots are 6-point dog. I won't say how I would play it. But I think that's a sucker's enticement. I think sometimes when lines go out, there are two things they know. New England fans are very passionate, and they have an above average income. Right? So they know they're like, I'm going to put $1,000 on the game. Someone's not really going to do that, say in, I don't know, Lexington, Kentucky, without something major happening. You know, that's not the rent here. You know what I mean, Zach? Like, so I'm putting a grand down.
Yeah, that definitely does seem like a fishy line. I do wonder if some of it comes from the Jaguars have been there for 2 weeks, but even so, 6.5 seems...
It's waiting for the New England money to come, for that number to come down. So they're probably like, you know what? They're going to probably start seeing quite a bit of money coming in on Patriots' money line. Right? I was like, I believe what they have not shown me anything there in Jacksonville. Like, a team with a negative 65 point differential is favored by 6? Like, think about that math. It's a sucker's pull, because I know a lot of New England money is going to come in, and with Drake May in there, you know, and he's looking good in practice and stuff like that. That line, I would not be surprised if that line does not come down to about 4. You know, I'm surprised there's no hook on it. Probably that line probably comes down to 4.5. 4.5, I think, would be that final number, just because. And I think the other thing they're waiting on is if Ramondre Stevenson is a go, right? I think you keep that number at 6 if Ramondre Stevenson is a question, but if he's a go, that number drops down to 4.5, because now Drake May has one of the better runners in the league who can get you yards after contact and set up the play action where you clearly see that Drake May was able to get the ball out and get space to his receivers where they can catch and run, which over the last few years, the problem has been wait for the ball to get there and 5 receivers get there at the same time. Yeah, you might have caught it, but there's no run. I mean, run after catch, it was almost unheard of. So you're seeing that happen, and you believe that can continue to happen with Drake May. So I'm not upset. How can I say? I would be upset if the Patriots do not show out with great energy and have a real chance to win this game, right? Either one or two ways. You get up early and keep the lead, or you're able to pull off something where the game is consistently close because you've got two teams who are consistently bad. And Drake May or the team is able to pull off something where, hey, it comes down to a winning field goal or something like that. That would be really cool. Because that's another block of hope that you can add to. Like, if Drake May has a winning drive that leads to, say, a game-winning field goal or a game-winning touchdown, now you could say, all right, with the team with two wins, you probably feel better about this team than the one that was winning like every other week last week, 2 years ago, when the Patriots like win a week, lose a week, win a week, lose a week, win a week, lose a week. And you would have to already feel better about than what you had last year with the debacle between Mac and Bill and the staff and so forth and everything like that. So, look, the fan base deserves to be able to hold on to something because you don't know what to hold on to. You know, you've had the greatest quarterback of all time here. I mean, it's literally like a dedicated wife for 20-plus years. Always watched the game with you. Always had a beer with you. Always made meals with you. Always hung out. Let you go see your friends. Like the greatest spouse in the world. And then when that's gone, there's an emptiness. I might cry. I'm kidding. All right. Before we get to break, let me get to bets to the future. There's some interesting things that are going on in Vegas, including futures. Hit it, Zach.
You're up right now. Ride it out.
Too many mouths.
You mean bet?
Yeah. How about 10?
Seems a little steep, but 10,000 it is.
Not 10,000. $10.
The future. All right, this is Bets to the Futures, where we look at the futures market. I use BetMGM because Death Row is the label that pays me, right? We'll look at the overall winner, AFC winner, and some other props, including an interesting one with the Chiefs that I might be tempted to look at. All right, Zach, I know you like to lay your money down a little bit. Chiefs are the favorites to win the Super Bowl at plus 475, followed by the Ravens at plus 700, the 49ers at plus 700. Bills at 9-1, Lions 10-1, Texans 11-1, Vikings 12-1. Do you see anybody outside of the Chiefs potentially as the Super Bowl winner?
It's really tough because it's one of those things, like especially with the Ravens and Bills, where I'm just going to have to see it to believe it. So like I do think that there's a chance that one of those teams can stop the Bills. Same thing with the Niners. Kyle Shanahan melts down in big games at every opportunity he gets. And the Lions would have been my pick, but then they just lost Aiden Hutchinson for probably the rest of the year. So unfortunately, I think the Chiefs are probably the best bet there.
If there's someone I would put a little stretch on, sprinkle on, would be the Lions at 10-1 because they are the second team from the NFC. And with the 49ers, I don't know if Christian McCaffrey would be fully ready to go and ramped up as the hitting gets harder and as you get into playoffs, because the playoffs are going to be a different animal. I like the Lions to be at least in that Super Bowl, and then anything can happen. Yes, they lost Aiden Hutchinson, but they've got two amazing running backs, and the run game is all about time possession, keeping Patrick Mahomes off the field. All right, the number one seed for the AFC, the Chiefs are the money favorite, minus 160. Texans at plus 400, Ravens at 650, Bills at 800, Steelers then at 35-1. So out of Texans, Ravens, Bills, who do you think has a chance to get that number one seed in the AFC if it isn't the Chiefs?
It's a toss-up for me between those Bills and Ravens. I think ultimately it's going to be the Ravens because I have less faith in the AFC North to trip up the Ravens a little bit. I think maybe the Dolphins, if they get Tua back, and maybe the Jets in a revenge spot, get them back when they get things together under the new interim coach.
You know, the Bills offer an interesting perspective because if you look at their conference, they're more likely to not lose any more of their games against their division opponents, but they do have still a tougher schedule. That loss to the Texans could put them potentially in a tiebreaker situation. So I do like the Texans. You know what you're getting with Tennessee in that division. The Colts are still trying to figure some things out, and we just talked about the Jags. So the Texans may be that other team that can make a run at the Chiefs for that number one spot, but the Chiefs are the odds-on favorite for the AFC number one seed. In the NFC, the Vikings lead this is crazy. Vikings are the favorite right now, plus 165. Then the Lions at plus 275. Then the Falcons at 10-1. The Packers at 10-1. Commanders 10-1. Eagles at 11-1. Who do you like to be the number one seed in the NFC?
So I actually like the 49ers. My cousin is a big Vikings fan, so he's going to hate to hear that.
Wow, but 12-1.
I think that the Niners, obviously, they play in an easier division. I'm not a big Geno Smith believer. I'm not a big believer in the Rams. And I really don't like what the Cardinals have going on down there. So I think they probably have the easiest path there. And obviously, the Vikings still have to play the Lions twice. So, yeah, I'm going with the Niners.
Yeah, if the Lions don't trip up, they would probably be my choice. Because, look, the Vikings are nice, but I don't know if they end up being the number one seed in the NFC. But watch out for the Falcons. Look at their division. The Saints started off hot at 2-0. They're nothing. Carolina Panthers are nothing. Tampa's going to make it interesting, but if they could separate themselves from Tampa, I think things start to get interesting, and the Falcons at 10-1 may be something to sprinkle on as the NFC number one seed. All right, the MVP award presented by AP, Associated Press, Patrick Mahomes at 3-1, Lamar Jackson at 5.5-1, CJ Stroud at 6-1, Josh Allen at 6.5. Brock Purdy 12-1, Jaden Daniels at 14-1, Sam Darnold 16-1, Burrow 18-1, and so is Jordan Love. If it ain't Patrick Mahomes, who would you like to sprinkle some change on?
I think I would go with Lamar going back to back if it's not Mahomes.
Yeah, if he's back there in the AFC Championship game, and let's say, look, you've got a Cincinnati team that's struggling, Pittsburgh, do you really believe who they're going to, like who they are right now is who they're going to end up being, and of course Cleveland is just an absolute shell of themselves. If Baltimore is able to run away with it, and it looks like maybe their only key, that defeat of the Chiefs from the Chiefs is such a stinger that stings with you more. I think you'd say Lamar Jackson might win it over Patrick Mahomes just because Patrick Mahomes is such an easy choice year after year. This is an interesting one. NFC East winner. They've got the Commanders at plus 120, the Eagles at plus 130, and the Cowboys at 450. Who do you like there?
That's a weird one, and it's really hard not to say the Commanders right now. Obviously, the Cowboys have their warts on offense. They really can't move the ball if it isn't in CeeDee Lamb's hands. They don't really have any running back that scares you. Obviously, they have the ghost of Ezekiel Elliott and Rico Dowdle, and I have my doubts about Jalen Hurts as a quarterback, so I'm going to begrudgingly go with the Commanders, I guess.
See, I don't know. Everything feels good right now for the Commanders, but look, the Cowboys are only one game out of the NFC East lead. So at plus 4.5, I don't think this is money you would ever see on a line for the Cowboys in the East. It's usually Eagles, Cowboys 1-2. I would sprinkle money on the Cowboys because I think they've got to get it right now or by Thanksgiving someone is out of a job. All right, this is pretty interesting. The number has changed for the New England Patriots. Regular season wins over under 4.5, both at minus 110. Which way are you laying?
I think I'm still going with the under. I think it's just a talent issue. Like, looking at the schedule now, I think there's a chance that they can beat Jacksonville this weekend, but the line tells you otherwise. I think the Titans are a winnable game. I think the Rams are a winnable game. And I think the Cardinals are a winnable game. So that's three right there.
Well, it was interesting. At one point, it was plus money. It was near even money at 5.5. I wonder if it's sitting at minus 110 for each number waiting on this Jacksonville game. I think this Jacksonville game will determine if that 5.5 number reappears.
I think Drake May is the big wild card there, too. If he continues to improve, then that number's going to go over.
I totally agree. Now, here's a crazy one before we get to break. Kansas City Chiefs regular season wins over 13.5, even money, under 13.5, minus 120, over 16.5. 20-1. Are you tempted to take that 20-1 for them to win, go undefeated, regular season?
I would definitely be tempted to. That feels like pretty good odds. Just looking at it, they still have the Bills, they still have the Texans, and I could see them maybe even slipping up in 2 weeks on Monday night against the Buccaneers. So there are three plausible games, but that feels like pretty good odds to.
Yeah, I think if they make a big receiver move before they incur or see the Bills. I would be tempted at 20-1 to go after them. Here's an interesting one. New York Jets to make the playoffs. Yes, plus 140. No, minus 165. Are you buying the Jets not making the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get there. They just feel like such a train wreck right now, and it feels like they're like a couple bad moves away from Aaron Rodgers going completely off the deep end and really spiraling. So, yeah, I don't think they're going
to
get there.
And I'm all here for it. I'll have my popcorn ready to watch it Sunday night. That's Bets of the Future here on WEEI. KJ Carson here wrapping up the show next. Thank you so much for hanging out.
It's KJ Carson on WEEI. WEEI.
Thanks so much for hanging out on WEEI. It's KJ. Before I get out of here, remember the Odyssey app is free. You missed any of the show, just type in WEEI. Brings you right here. Chapter by chapter, hour by hour, it's in parts for you so you can get to the parts about Belichick and the money that he spent on the free agents and how that's kind of carrying over to the conversation about Jaylen Brown and him following up on his promise to invest in small minority businesses, as well as what the Patriots are getting into on Sunday and how the fan base may feel if there's a loss, it could get ugly. All that's on the Odyssey app. It's free. Man, you know the funny thing was, what was about four weeks ago, there was just kind of this general talk around Boston. Like, how much energy do you give to Boston College talking about Boston College? Like, at one point, when they were 3-1, their only loss was to Missouri, and Missouri at the time was like the number 6 ranked team. And you're like, okay, they beat Florida State, and then they just barely lost to Missouri. Maybe I still hold on to this money I want to spend when they go to the Rose Bowl. You want to play the music now, Zach?
I almost took them to go to the playoff before that Mizzou game. Very glad I didn't.
You can go ahead and hit that music now because, folks, the conversation about Boston College from my lips are done. Like a sad jazz song, it's what could have been. I mean, you're not catching Clemson. They've won 5 in a row. Miami, they've stolen 2 of their last 6 wins. Pittsburgh, they've won 6 in a row. Oh boy, SMU comes in here later. They've won 3 in a row. And Louisville, oh boy, you lost to Virginia, and Virginia Tech just beat you. Georgia Tech is ahead of you. And damn, Duke is ahead of you too. Oh, it's going to be a cold, cold winter on Chestnut Hill, baby. You think you may buy her a ring now that they're not going to the Rose Bowl to the playoffs? But baby, Castellanos was going to take us. And then I realized he can't see over the line, and maybe it's time to stop talking about Boston College football and what could be when you're 4-3 and blue and blown, actually. Pause. You can kill it. Yeah. 4-3, great record, but like you're not going to be playing for anything meaningful. Like, here's what I think, Zach, because I know you're an alum. They've got to win that. If they can win out their home games, they're going to be in a better than above average bowl, right? Because, you know, we joke like, oh, they get the Fenway Bowl. I'm like, yeah, Fenway's probably like, let's see how bad Colorado does. If they're bowl eligible, can we get Colorado? They'll come here and spend. Look, hats off to Bill O'Brien. Like, he's turned around a situation that needed to show some love. I think you've got some NFL quality players on that team, and I think as long as they continue to stick it out with him. I don't know. What do we drop the SAT or ACT score down to? Get some better players. I'm sorry. It's kind of tough, isn't it?
I mean, it is true because I do think that BC's academic standards are, in a way, holding them back. But, like, Cal's been good this year. Yeah. Stanford has been good in the past. Duke is good this year. Like, schools with high academic standards can succeed. And I've seen this a lot on Twitter that people are saying, well, this is still Jeff Hafley's roster. Bill O'Brien hasn't gotten a full offseason yet. Bill O'Brien doesn't really seem like he's going to be super aggressive in the transfer portal. So this is going to be a probably multi-year rebuild to get anything relevant.
Yeah, I guess because, you know, the players are going to want to come. You won't be that bad. Well, what's the NIL look like? Man, we can get you a bunch of Kubota tractors if you want a Kubota. You get a little snow and you get a snow on your in front of your dorm. You know, we can get you a Kubota tractor, pull it over there. I think that's the other thing is, like, what will NIL get you here? Yeah, maybe a car, but you can get a car anywhere. You know, like the fan base, unless the fan base suddenly turns around and the alumni turns around and says, we want to put real money into NIL behind this team. And if you got a kid with high quality, you know, a high quality, that's the other part, man. It's kind of very hard. Like linemen, yeah, you can get high intelligent lineman guys that are going to be NFL quality. We've seen that. Once you start getting into like quarterbacks and receivers, maybe even some running backs, you're like, are these the type of guys that are going to be able to beat a Clemson or beat a Miami? Because Clemson, let's just call it what it is. It's Sunday school university, right? So they're pretty much saying, if your mama says you need to be in church on Sunday, come play for Clemson, right? And then if it's Miami, you're like, hey, if you're running from the law, come play for Clemson. I'm totally kidding. And then with Pittsburgh, they're always this anomaly. And SMU has out loud said, oh, man, we got our lights turned out because of NIL 30, 40 years ago. You mean the Dallas alumni could bring it back? SMU in 5 years may be the most dangerous team in the ACC because all that Dallas money would be rolling. So can I get some of that melancholy music again for? Well, no, you know, I can just get the outro music at this point because I think it's kind of sad, too. Oh, Boston College. It was an exciting Indian summer. The leaves were starting to just turn and you were winning games, and when you beat Michigan State, it felt like it was something that we forgot. Kirk Cousins is no longer on that team, and neither is the guy who shot himself who used to be on the Giants. Thank you so much for being here. It's been a lot of fun. I'm back here with John Lyons tomorrow, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. here on WEEI. Remember, at Twitter, at WEEI, at KJ Carson, at WEEI, Zach, thank you again so much. We'll do it again tomorrow. See ya!
This is not a real election ad.
KJ and Lyons bring forth a new nation in sports talk entertainment. A show that believes in appealing to the super smart down to the guy who still acts like a 10th grader.
I'm letting you know that I'm a damn werewolf.
The show that can tie everyday life and Boston sports like no other.
It's high-end stuff, KJ.
This election season, vote KJ and Lyons. A show for the people. By the people.
Yes, KJ and Lyons can.
KJ and Lyons are doing a heck of a job.
And yes, KJ and Lyons are bigly on sports. Read my lips. KJ and Lyons are the bee's knees.
Because it is you that KJ and Lyons work for.
I could care less about some kid in college right now.
You better care about him, KJ.
No, here's the thing.
Vote KJ and Lyons. A show for you, the people.
I'm KJ and I overdraft my account to pay for this ad.
This is not a real election ad.